talked about the beginnings of a servant last Sunday, and we're going to finish that lesson today. Of course, a lesson is never really finished. There's always so much that you can go back and add to and stuff. So hopefully these lessons that we talk about on Sunday mornings are only the beginning. And as you listen to them or think about them or go back and study certain things, that you would add to them and grow from there. Never has anything that I've ever taught been in its entirety, because there's so much more that God has for us to see. One thing that that hasn't changed with this message is a servant's mentality is to do the unappreciated work for the glory, recognition, and reward from their master. When you look at it in that light, you know, I kind of like a reward. I kind of like my own recognition sometimes. I kind of like my own happiness, right? I mean, when Larry and I would study, he would always ask, he would always say, "Where do you want to go eat?" And I'd say, "I don't know." He'd say, "Well, you name it, we claim it." Now, on the other hand, if I wanted a hamburger, I wouldn't have been happy probably going to get breakfast. You know, I just kind of would want to, "Look, how about let's get a hamburger?" He didn't care, right? What I'm talking about is there's certain joys even though they don't seem really big, we seek our own pleasures. Some things don't matter that matter to me that don't matter to you, and vice versa. But we do seek our own pleasures. A servant does not seek their own pleasure. They have a moment that's given to themselves when they retire to their quarters, or they retire to their home when they the shift changes or whatever, because somebody can't be attentive 24 hours a day every day, you know. The mentality is to do the unappreciated work, and that's something that that we fail to really look at. This is stuff that nobody really wants to do, but it's necessary to do to make the master look good. His glory, his recognition, and his reward. And then he gives to us what he chooses. But see, we don't think about things that way. When we do things, we want people to say thank you to us. We want people to recognize us. And we like that. Whether if you're a glory hog or you're not, we like that. To some degree, we like that. But is our mindset that what we do here is for His glory, and it doesn't matter what I receive? That I do this with a song in my heart because I love my master. What do you do for a living? And you're happy with that? Hey, I know that when my master lays his head down on his pillow, that it is fluffed, it is clean, it is soft. He drifts off to a wonderful sleep. And I made that possible for him because I washed his sheets every day. I fluffed his pillow. I did this. And you're like, "Gosh, what a life. That sounds awful boring. I've seen your bed. It's nowhere nice as his. But my care was for him." That is a learned behavior. That is not something that we come into the church where we believe that you are more important than me, and that I'm more important than you. That is not how we come into the church. We don't look at each other as truly service to them is a reflection of our service to our master. If we can certainly serve each other, if we certainly can serve each other in an unconditional way, the best we can, then maybe we could learn to serve our master unconditionally. And if we have problems with one another, then we might have problems with serving our master. Because that's what Jesus said. For the love that you have for one another, you will show yourself to be my disciples. And a disciple is a learner. If you want to learn from me, then that will be shown based on the way that you love one another. And that takes time. That takes time to understand that we look past the problems that we have that immediately rub us the wrong way. Sometimes two people just don't get along, right? Their personalities just don't match. And you think, well, okay, well, that's fine. We just deal with that and we just stay away from one another. That's what it was with the Jew and the Gentile coming together. Man, they didn't get along at all. They couldn't just stay away from one another. They had to learn to live together. And I couldn't imagine a more rougher start, because there was Jews that looked at the Gentiles as simply dirty, and they just couldn't get past that picture of them. And there were some Gentiles that were so happy to be included into the faith, they didn't care how they were looked at. But there were also some Gentiles that were pretty mad at them Jews for exalting themselves. And now, where are we at? We're in the same place you are. Kind of sounds like you had your nose stuck in the air for no reason. A lot of problems melding two people together. But we do this because of service to our Master. And so when we map this out in our minds, what we're willing to do and what we're willing to not do, then we realize how much of a servant's mentality we have or don't have. Because for some it's easier than others. And for some it's very hard. But I want us to see something here, maybe that goes in a little different direction than what you might have thought, but Matthew 5, 3 through 10. Jesus came to the nation of Israel to show them how a life was to be lived in the Spirit. He was going to show them how they should have seen themselves. But they didn't see themselves this way. He come to the nation, and this, and if you look in the Old Testament, this was the day of visitation that was spoken of there. This is when Jesus came to His own and He began to teach them. Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. These are called the Beatitudes. I guess the attitudes we should have, but I think if we're honest, that maybe we don't. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And if you look at that word poor, that means beggar and cringing. If you look up Lazarus, he was the beggar. That was the same word there. Do we feel that way when we look for God's mercy upon us, when God's teaching upon us? Do we come to Him as a beggar? Maybe we should. Cringing. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you come to Him willing to take whatever it is He has to offer, and that's the point here. It's not that we should crawl to Him and say, oh God, I'm just so unworthy. No, we're willing to take anything He's willing to give us. Remember the Master, even the dogs eat the crumbs under the table. Right? This woman was happy with just getting crumbs from the table of the Master. And so if we come to God willing to take whatever it is that He's willing to give, and that we are grateful for that, He tells us, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you think, okay, well, that's great. We read all of this, and we see how we should be and all this stuff, and what has this got to do with being a servant? Well, if you notice, there are words in blue and there are words in red. The blue is our physical fight. It's our sacrifice. It's our labor. To be poor in spirit. To mourn. To be meek. And that word doesn't mean to be a doormat. That word means to be submissive to the Word of God. To let His authority reign over yours. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. What do we hunger and thirst for? Pizza and downtime and sleep. Fun with our friends. That's the kind of thing we hunger for. Right? I was like, come on, Lauren, can we get going? Can we just get going this morning? Did anybody let the dog out? I want to get some breakfast. I would like to have some breakfast before I get started this morning. Instead of, come on, we got to get to worship. We're going to be late. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Merciful. Remember, this is a physical fight. Some of these things we just physically can't do. There are people that I have been angry with that don't deserve my forgiveness. There are people that I have been mad at that I don't want to forgive. I want to be mad for a little while. Merciful, pure in heart. Some days I would be embarrassed. I don't even know what that word means, pure in heart. Go down and me and my wife are sitting there and I said, well, not to be talking about people, but and guess what happens? Should be no secrets between a husband and a wife. Peacemaker. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. These are our sacrifice. This is our labor. This is what we do for God. This is what we bring to the table. Nobody's going to make me forgive. God Himself is not going to make me forgive. You understand that? He's not going to make me forgive. I have to be the one to do that. He can give me all the reasons. He can give me all the strength and even give me an open door. But He is not going to make me walk through that door unless I choose to do it. This is what we bring to the table. Peacemaker. Man, sometimes there's just no peace with people. You've got to start a fight. He says, blessed are they. This is a labor. This is a fight. You should be about trying to dispel arguments and about I'm just not talking about physical fights. I'm talking you should be about trying to look ahead to see what kind of problem this anger will carry. At work, I made this guy mad because they continued to work and I wasn't there. I'd went and sat down. I didn't know that they had continued to work, and he got hot with me, boy. Mad. And the problem was is that he carried that anger home with him. And I know what that does. You know what that is? That's a burden. That's a weight that he had to carry that night, that anger towards me. And we hollered at one another that next morning. And I came to him and I told him, I said, look, I understand you being mad at me, but I didn't know. I said, so, I didn't know y'all were doing it. So I said, you know, forgive me. But I didn't know. I said, you want to be mad? I understand. But I didn't mean to do that to you. And I'm sorry that you had to take that burden home with you. See, we should be able to try to be peacemakers. We can't change what we've done, but we can try to make amends for it. And you know what? Sometimes there's no amends that could be made except for the fact that I put myself on your mercy to forgive me. That's all we can do. But we have to be willing to do that. This is our labor. This is our fight that we bring to the table. Now, what's the red? You probably already figured it out. That's our spiritual strength. That's our reward. That's our fruit. That's what comes from the Master. If we are willing to come to God and to come to each other, you start talking when I'm teaching, you know what I should do? Give you room to talk. I don't say, well, wait a minute. I'm talking. I'm speaking up here. That's not what I do. That's not what we should do. If there's a lie being taught, we've got to, whoa, wait a minute, I don't know. But we have to give people the benefit of the doubt. And you don't think I can learn? You don't think that you can learn? That's why we're together. When you speak, I can learn. The poor in spirit, whatever way I can get knowledge from the Lord, I will take it. We read it from the Word. We see the examples in each other's life. And we watch the slow progression where people struggle and fight and they finally give in. And you say, wow, I never thought that that would happen. How strong is God that He can break a heart and out of it comes love and forgiveness, strength, and mercy. He says when we come to Him that way, He says, we enter into our kingdom. He says, you come to me that way. He says, this kingdom of heaven is yours. Because you approach me that way. He says that when you mourn, He said, I shall comfort you. You want to be comfort from God? then you mourn over the sin of yourself and for those that are around you and for this world that it will be passing away and it will stand before judgment. He says, you want my comfort, then you mourn for my people. And I will comfort you. I don't want to mourn for people. I just want to be comforted because I'm having a bad day. He says, you want my comfort. He says, you mourn for my people. This is the life that I want you to live. And if you want my comfort, he says, I will give it to you because you mourn for me. Because of the wrath that's coming. The meek, those that accept his will. He says, you give up your will here to do my will. And he says, all that there is will be given to you. This earth that you think that you have lost, that you're given up, he says, you shall inherit it. He says, you will not lose anything. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He says, for they shall be filled. He says, you want to be have the leading of the Holy Spirit. He says, you want to use my gifts. He says, you want to be filled with the Spirit so that people can see. He says that people can see my word. They can see me in action through you, and that you marvel at people who can rattle off Scripture and who have the knowledge of God, it seems. And he says that you want to be, filled like that. He says, then you hunger and thirst for my righteousness, not your own. He says, you desire me, you seek first me. You more than food, more than sleep, he says, you want me, and he says, I will fill you. You see, these rewards that he's talking about, when we talked about it first for the unappreciated work that we do, the recognition and reward from the Master, he doesn't underappreciate the work. The world underappreciates the work. When you forgive them, how do they treat you? And that's how we see as our reward. That is not our reward. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they should obtain mercy. That one's easy enough. I mean, if you don't want to forgive anybody else, why would you really think that somebody should forgive you? That's an easy one, okay? But some of these others aren't so easy. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That means when nobody's looking, you're doing the right thing and they make fun of you and you're the one that gets stuck doing the work all the time, over and over again, and they laugh at you for it, but you continue to do it because it is the right thing to do in the eyes of the Lord. And you think, gosh, they don't care about you. They don't appreciate your work. And they don't. But God does. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you come here for another, then you're going to see the joy on their face, and you'll be happy with that, I guess. That's what you're doing it for. But if you're coming here for God, to serve God, to learn how to serve God, to know Him, to get closer to Him, that's a pure heart. That's a pure motive. And when that happens, God says that you will see me. He says, when you come in this building to worship me, you will see me. Who here doesn't want to see God? These are our labors. These are our fruits that we bring before the Lord. And He's shown us our reward. These rewards are pretty nice, right? These are things that we want. Jesus was telling the Jews, now remember, this was Him teaching them. Jesus was telling the Jews, this is how you will live in the flesh by the power and promise of the Holy Spirit of God. This is what He told them. And then He showed them by living it out. This was the labor that He produced. Who did He exalt Himself above? Who did He not forgive? That was His labor. We watched it in His life. And the fruit was all of these things. He was raised from the dead. He gave His life for for these labors. And God said, because you have done this, he raised him from the dead and he gave him his life right back. Never to be taken from him again. Never. Jesus told us how to walk. He told us the things to do. He showed us what a servant was. And then he lived them out. This was the labor that we seen him go through. Now, you would think that you would read this and you think, well, this is what was set before us. It kind of is, kind of isn't, okay? It's like the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. We're not made righteous by living by the Ten Commandments. One of the reasons is that we can't live by them. But the Ten Commandments still are what God expects. He doesn't expect you to lie. He doesn't expect you to serve foreign gods. You understand? He doesn't expect you to take innocent blood. So this is the way that Jesus told us we would live. Now, Paul told us a way that we would live too, and it mirrors this. But he gets a little more that we could understand. Because Jesus was talking to the Jews. What does that matter? It matters because their mindset was the law of Moses. The church's mindset is not the law of Moses. It's the law of grace, which is still a law. But watch. Here's the labor and fruit that's set before us. You find it in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 25. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And when you talk about the works of the flesh, these are the things that God doesn't produce in us. He doesn't make us mad. We just become mad. He doesn't make us jealous. We just become jealous. These are things that don't have to be taught. No one has to tell a child, mine. No one has to tell a child to run up and take something from another child and run back and sit there and covet it. Right? In elementary school and in kindergarten and stuff, you know, that's predominantly what you deal with. Kids wanting their stuff and taking it. These are things that are born of the flesh. These are things that the flesh produces. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness. And that word uncleanliness means morally foul. They just don't have any morals. They'll do anything. They'd sell out their own mom for a pack of cigarettes. You know that there are women that sell their children into slavery, sexual slavery. What kind of mom can do that? Morally foul is what this is talking about. Do you know the difference between adultery and fornication? Adultery is the breaking of a covenant. When two people are married and one goes outside of the marriage bed, then that is adultery. Fornication is sex before marriage. It's two people who are not married hooking up. These are things of the flesh. Lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. That word sorcery means sharing power over creation. It's like witchcraft. Mother Earth. No. You don't bring Mother Earth into the equation when you're talking about creation. That's God's glory. Sorcery is sharing that glory with another inanimate, untrue object. Druids worship the forest and the trees because they are alive. They grow and keep the air clean and all these things. But God is the one that made these things. Sorcery is sharing that with someone else. Hatred, contentions. And the word contentions means that we argue over words. I guess there's a lot of things that we could put here. But, you know, if you had a Jehovah Witness come in and he saw a cross, we use the word cross, he would be offended by that. Because they say that is bringing up a graven image of our God, that we worship that cross, and that upsets them. But see, the point is not the cross, whether if he was crucified as in a cross or if he was crucified on a stake with his hands above him. The point is why he was crucified. And contentions is making the argument over the cross versus why he was crucified, which is more important. Don't ever not concede to someone because they think that we're upholding a cross as an image to our God. Jesus was crucified probably on a stake like this. with his arms above his head on that tree, as opposed to what we would consider a cross. But I'm not going to argue the fact. Contentions is that we're going to argue that fact. We're going to forget why Jesus came. We're going to forget that he was crucified. We're just going to argue on how he was crucified. See, that's not going to do anything. It's not going to bring any ending. It's not going to do anything. It's a worthless thing that you're doing of the flesh. Jealousies. Gosh, jealousy is a terrible burden to bear. It really is. Outbursts of wrath. That goes without saying. Selfish ambitions. We know what that is. Dissensions. Dissensions is causing divisions, laying groundwork for a division. You know, did you hear what Melissa said the other day? No. Yeah. I mean, she sits here and she, you know, she smiles and she looks like, you know, she's having a good time and she welcomes you and stuff, but, you know, she talks about you. I heard her talk about it. See, that's dissensions. That's causing a division, because that's causing you to kind of be upset with Melissa. And you know what? You know who's talking about somebody? Me. That's what I'm doing right there, telling you. I'm talking about her. But see, we don't see it that way, right? We think that I'm telling you the truth. Dissensions, causing a division. We understand what that means. Heresies. Offering lies as an option to the truth. It's a false teaching. We can't suspend the mind. You don't get a chance to choose how you're saved. You don't get a chance to choose the God that you serve. And heresies is allowing you to think that lie is an option for salvation. Man, I really got to move on. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. Revelries is carousing, rioting. There's no shame. It's lawlessness. We've seen that even in our day today. And the like. He's grouping this together as works of the flesh, and I think we know what we're talking about here, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, Paul is telling us that these are the things that we work against. You understand? And then he's going to tell us that when we work against them, these are the things that are going to be produced in us by the Holy Spirit to help us overcome these things. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So we read this and we look at those and we look at this and we're like, oh, okay. These are the things we hope for. These are the things we do, and we move on. Yet Paul had to correct the church because they weren't moving on. They were staying in these sins of the flesh. They were staying and producing fruit of the flesh instead of fruit of the Spirit. Are we willing to trade the pain of adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness for the love of the Father? You see, not everybody has to go through these things, and not everybody gets involved in these things, but there are some that do, and it rips your heart up. Are you willing to let this go for the love of the Father? Brings it a little more real, right? When these things come into your life, are you willing to let them go so that you can receive His love and you deal with your pain? He'll take away your pain. He's promised He's going to do that, but until then, you have to deal with that. Is His love worth your pain? Will you give up your idolatry and your sorcery for His joy? Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Will you give up being mad at that guy that cut you off on the freeway for His peace? Because see, when somebody does that to you on the road, you have no peace until you have either they are gone, you let them go, but if they're in the left-hand lane and they won't let you pass, and then when you try to go around them, and they're doing 50 in the left-hand lane, but you have to get up to 80 miles an hour to pass them, oh my gosh, you can't let that go. That is something that's going to stick with you as long as you can see that car that's there. That's terrible. That's a burden to bear. Yeah, road rage. Are you willing to let that go for His peace? To say, Lord, I can't receive Your peace until I forgive that person for driving like a jerk. Purposely on me, because I saw him look at me in his mirror. He knew I was back here, and he's doing it on purpose. Am I willing to let that go for the peace of God? And I'd say most of the times, in that heat of the moment, the answer is, no way. Are we willing to let that go for His peace? Selfish ambitions and dissensions. See, selfish ambitions, sometimes we cause division so that we can pick up the pieces that we want. Are we willing to give up our selfish ambition and take on His long-suffering? Heresies, envy, murders for kindness, goodness, the forgiveness of something unforgivable. Are we willing to do these things? Are we willing to fight against these things for those things that He tells us we're going to receive? Long-suffering? Faithfulness? Is this kind of joy to Him being produced in us? Wow, I come to church and I'm around the table all the time, but I lead a miserable life because everybody hates me. Is that the kind of love? Is that the kind of life that we want? That's the kind that may appear at certain times. But what we're producing in ourselves by denying ourselves these things and seeking His joy. Drunkenness and revelries for faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One of the things about drunkenness is it takes away your control and gives it over to the alcohol or whatever. And by having self-control, you don't find yourself in those situations. See, now, when we look at this, and here's where we're at right today. We've prayed for one another. We've taken communion together. And our hearts were open to listening to the truth. And we see that this is kind of possible, right? We see that we might be able to do this. Forgive somebody that's unforgivable. The next time the guy cuts you off, just, God, forgive me for hating him. Okay? You know? I don't know. Or we might see that it's actually possible at this moment because our hearts and minds are open to the leading of the truth. But what about when we get out there? We get away from this table. Huh? When we get away from praying for one another and open the Word. That strength that we have right now that we see, this is what I want to do. Yeah, I think I'd like to lead this kind of life. I think I'd like to lean in this direction. I think I'd like to have His peace for once. All of that strength goes away because we get away from Him. We get away from that servant mentality. We serve Him here, but we don't serve Him there. Joshua 24:14-15. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. We know what those words mean. That's what we were going over. Truth, sincerity. When we're willing to take shame upon ourselves, we're willing to take punishment upon ourselves, we're willing to take foolishness upon ourselves to serve Him. Sincerity and truth, we mean what we say. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. See, here it was that Joshua had conquered the promised land and he's talking to Israel, and all those gods that were still served in all those gods that were served in Egypt, he was telling them, he says, they had brought some of them with them. And here they were in the promised land, and secretly they served these other gods. And he said, put them away. Put them away. And see, our gods are our anger and our hatred and our jealousies. We want to serve them because it makes us strong. It makes us, if we're angry, you know, we're willing. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this because you were wrong. So what? So what? Then forgive me. You're right, I was wrong. Maybe you see it before I do. Maybe I see it before you do. Forgiveness. Put away those gods. Put away those things, those things of the flesh that we talked about. We went over them. Those are the gods that we serve. Put away those things. He said, serve the Lord. He says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And what we get from this is that if it seems right for you to act like everybody else in this country, then you do it. If that's what you want to do, if you want to do what everybody else does here, then you do it. But that's not how God has called you to act. Joshua tells him, he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will take on His persecutions. I will take on His long-suffering to please Him and not this world around me. Because see, we hold on to marriage for a few intimate moments. When you're raising kids or you're working and you're getting a house and you're trying to make that house payment and the car goes bad and you made the decision to go get another car, there's a lot of things going on and there's very few moments where you and your spouse can connect and just have a moment away. And usually that ends in an argument because of something that's going on, and then you just, it's like it never ends. You have such little time for that peace that you long for. We work stressful jobs and we add more stress for a better retirement. We do things that we hate doing that we know that are hurting our bodies, or that we take time away from our family so that hopefully when we come to the place where we do retire, that we will be able to live. I think most of us would want just a normal life, you know. If we want to go get a hamburger, we go get a hamburger. If we need a new pair of shoes, we go get a new pair of shoes. The water heater goes out, we put it on a credit card, we sacrifice a little, we pay it off. We just want a normal life. We don't want to have the money to be able to go out and buy two or three cars on a whim. That's not what we're looking for. We're just looking for some sort of normal life. And we put ourselves under all this stress to do these things. You see, we've been a servant to the world. We can do it, right? You like being stressful, huh? You like arguing with your spouse, huh? But you know, we keep ourselves in that situation because we make ourselves a servant to the world. And we've done it. We've done it for years and years and years. We can do it. We can do it because you know why? It's something that we want. We can do it. Galatians 5:24 through 26, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. God did not say that these weren't things that didn't appeal to us. Serving God has never been easy. Show me a situation in Scripture where serving God was easy. It's been worth it, but it wasn't easy. Passions and desires. He's talking, what are the passions and desires? Being mad, being angry, being jealous. Adultery, fornication, having fun, woo! Passions, desires. This is the way He says it. And He says, when those come upon us, He says, those, what does He say? Those who are Christ, they've crucified those desires. They'll always be a pull to us, always. They'll always be a pull to us. Not just one, but the multitude. All that they produce, you round them up and they just create the world that we live in, that we have committed to being a servant to. Verse 25, He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And you see the blue and the red? We know that there's labor there, and we know that there is reward there. Our labor is, listen to this, this is what our part of what our labor is in the church. Because He's telling this to the church, to the Galatians. He says, our labor is not to become conceited. You know what that means? That means we want to become conceited. Well, you look at all that I do. You look at what I've done. Conceited. Don't be conceited. Why would He tell you don't be conceited? This is what we fight against. It's not abnormal. We're in the flesh. We're in the flesh. And He says He expects that kind of behavior from us because we're fighting against the flesh. Provoking one another, envying one another. These are the things that He tells the church, the Galatians, that these are the things that we don't want to get involved in. And how we don't become involved in that is that we crucify the flesh and we walk in the Spirit. We measure our success and our happiness by what we produce for Him. Long-suffering, kindness, merciful, forgiveness, love. We measure how we are doing by what that's produced in us. And how much that can suppress the things that we want to do. We want to be mad. We want to be angry. We want to cut that person off. We want to do these things. We have to fight against them. Was there anybody mad to come in here this morning? Upset, angry at someone else? Who told you to do that? God says, if you bring that in here, He said, let it go. Here's the kicker. He doesn't say let it go because they don't deserve your anger. He says let it go because it makes me happy. I can't produce peace in you if you carry around hatred all the time. Is that possible? How could you do that? How could you be glad that you're mad all the time? You see, God knows you better than you know yourself. You want peace. And we've been lied to of what peace is. We've been robbing ourselves of that peace. Because it's His peace that we want. Not this world's, because this world's is only temporary. He's not expecting the world to change. He's expecting you to change. And that's something we don't understand. Because we think that if we're nice to this person, you know what this person is going to do? We expect them to be nice to us. You know what they're going to do? They're going to stab us in the back the first chance that they get because they don't know God. Because the only reason we don't stab them in the back is because we do know God. Do you not see that? What we produce in us is because it pleases the Master. And it doesn't please us. We want to do those other things. When that person gets mad at us and stabs us in the back, what do we want? Revenge. We want them to get what they gave us. Your time is coming. You just wait. That's what we tell them. And that's supposed to be a Christian forgiveness. You might stab me in the back, but when you stand before Jesus, you're going to hell. And that's what we call forgiveness. No. Paul said that I counted myself worthy to suffer for the sake of Christ. And that's what he did. He thought, this guy hates me because I told him about Jesus and I live it out. Praise God, somebody sees Jesus. He doesn't expect the world to change. He expects you to change. Jesus taught what could be accomplished by a life lived in the Spirit. And you know what? The apostles proved him right. Our labor will prove the apostles right for the next generation. People need to see God and they need to see it in us. And if they have to see it in our loss, if they have to see it in our shame, if they have to see it in our death, if they have to see it in our failures, they need to see God or they won't believe that He is real. They'll read about Him, they won't believe He's real. When people see you living out what you teach, that gives them hope. Because there are still people out there seeking God. There are people looking for His peace, and they need to see it in you. Why would people want to sacrifice and give up time and come to church if you're acting the same way that they are? What are you showing them? What's the point? Well, you know, Calvin goes to church, but he's a scoundrel, cusses all the time, steals. That's what I do. Why would I want to go to church? I'll just sleep in and do the same thing. He's no better than I am. They shouldn't see you as better. They see you as willing to forgive the unforgivable. And they said that should make them wonder, what in the world? How do you do this? Because I am a servant to my Master and He did it for me. We fight against principalities and powers. We don't fight against... I meant to have that open to Ephesians 6:12, but I did not. We think that we fight against all these other things. The things that I told you and showed you today, these are the things that we fight against. Ephesians 6:12, for you do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're not fighting each other. If I beat you into submission and I get my revenge on you, that accomplishes nothing. We wrestle against ourselves. We wrestle against the devil trying to teach us to follow what we want to do rather than what God wants us to do. And it comes down to a choice. He'll open the door, he'll give you the strength, but he won't make you walk through it. We have to show people that we walk through it for the love of God, not for the love of what we get. We are his servants, and we do for his joy. The apostles did it. Jesus did it. Look at their lives. Their labor was to fight against this world, but it was against themselves because they wanted to act the same way. You mentioned Peter earlier today. When the Jews taught that the Gentiles were coming together into one body, but then when the Gentiles were together and it was mostly Gentiles, Peter was sitting there and he was eating the pig with them and he's having a good old time. Then the Jews come in and he distanced himself from the Gentiles. You see what he wanted to do? See, he wanted the favor of the Jews because he was a Jew. But Paul, a servant of God, corrected him to his face. He did. And so, in the end, When the world became bold enough to attack the church, the first person that they killed was Peter. Why was that? Because even though Peter was not perfect, he had the strength that God gave him, and he stood in the face of the world, and he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of his Holy Spirit, the power to overcome yourself, the power of forgiveness, the power to be in a right relationship with God, and actually to get joy from a life less lived in the eyes of this world. Peter stood and he brought that message to the Jews. Peter brought that message to the Gentiles. He opened up the whole world to the gospel message. The whole world. And he was the first one to lose his head. It wasn't somebody else. And Peter wasn't perfect. We saw that. Peter came to a place where he served the Master. And the world hated him for it. God doesn't expect them to change. He expects you to change. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?